Depression is probably one of the most misunderstood ailments sweeping our nation today. While those who do not suffer from it often perceive it as the result of sadness, those who struggle with this epidemic often find it debilitating. Join me today with my special in-studio guests who are here to help us better understand this condition, maybe for ourselves or for loved ones around us suffering. I'm Charisse Parton. This is Return to Eden. Welcome, everybody. We've got such a great program for you today. But before we get right to it, let me introduce who's with me today. Straight from the investigative team of Skywatch TV, best-selling author and co-author of The Health Exposé and international best-selling book Time Bomb, welcome Allie Hansen.
Welcome.
Hi.
Also weighing in on the conversation is a board-certified holistic health practitioner, professional fitness and nutrition specialist, COO of Skywatch TV, and author of several best-selling books, including the internationally acclaimed book Time Bomb. Welcome back, Joe Horn.
Hi, Charisse.
Hi.
Hey, everybody.
Okay. So, Allie.
Yes.
With your education mm-hmm. and expertise, mm-hmm. let me ask you, this depression, you hear about seasonal depression, mm-hmm. you hear about chronic depression, you hear about, you know, situational depression. What are the differences in these conditions?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's important to understand that they are very different than each other. And if you mix them up, you could end up treating one kind of depression with another kind, and some strategies are not effective on certain kinds of depression.
That makes sense.
So, for example, situational depression is aptly named. It's related to the situation. So I've lost a loved one and I'm grieving.
Yeah.
It's related to a grieving process.
Gotcha.
You might be able to combat that with an antidepressant medication, but the bottom line is the situation has to be remedied. You go through the grieving process. Or I've moved to a new school and I don't have any friends. Oh. You know, this creates a situational depression, and those can be strategized.
Well, and some things too, like with the recent virus, a lot of people had a lot of depression coming out of that virus because of being quarantined and socially distanced and away from their friends and family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and on that note, the amount of anxiety and depression that we saw spike during that period of time, actually, it overwhelmed the mental health industry so much that they said that it would take up to a year after the entire epidemic was over before the mental health industry could even catch up to the caseload.
Right.
It's overwhelmed. So there's definitely a correlation between depression and isolation, and that is more a situational depression.
Gosh.
Now, chronic depression can be a result of a long period of sadness that could be situational, but it's an untreated situational depression, or it can be genetic. It can be related to a chemical imbalance in the brain.
Maybe a TBI or a brain injury of some sort.
It really can. Okay. Or it could even be the long-term lack of stimulation. So, for example, again, as we saw during this recent virus situation, that a lot of people were trapped inside and they were alone. Your brain needs a certain balance of stimulation, of activity, of change of environment even to get outside for a little bit and things like that. And we can talk more about that later. But the brain being without adequate stimulation for a long time, that can lead to a certain kind of chronic depression just by itself in a person who's not even predisposed genetically to struggle from depression. Now, seasonal depression, which is called seasonal affective disorder, abbreviated SAD, ironically.
Oh, wow.
And it's, and it's actually correlated strongly with a lack of vitamin D. So light therapy is very effective on that. But it literally has to do with when you live in a region where it's either too cold to go outside very much, or it becomes so cloudy and gray that the sunlight is diminished, and then you see a spike in this seasonal affective disorder.
Yeah.
And the thing with seasonal affective disorder is it's in a category all on its own within the mental health industry.
Really?
And the reason why is because people who otherwise show no signs of any mental health issue whatsoever can suffer from seasonal affective disorder. Mm-hmm. And it will come and go and not be, the term is comorbid, but what it means is coexistent with any other kind of mental illness. Whereas a lot of other mental illnesses, when you find one, if it goes untreated long enough, it can become coexistent with other things.
Okay.
And then you get this kind of complicated situation where you're dealing with multiple factors. But seasonal affective disorder is honestly brought on usually by not enough exposure to the outdoors or sunlight, and usually it's remedied by fixing the environment.
That's very interesting. So how can a person combat each one of these?
That's kind of a loaded question.
It is.
How does somebody combat all of them, right?
Yeah.
All at once.
Situational depression is the most effective way, usually, to combat that is honestly to strategize through it.
Okay.
You know, I'm going through a grieving process. Maybe you need counseling. Maybe you would do well to join some sort of a group, a support group
support
or something.
Groups. Yeah, I've heard of those.
Yeah. And find ways to try to pull yourself. You can't always change the situation.
Right.
You can't bring back a lost
sure.
loved one or whatever is going on.
Yeah.
A lot of things, that's part of where the depression stems from, the fact that you can't fix it and you're stuck dealing with this, you know. So why would you continue to deal with it if you could fix it and not have the depression?
Yeah, just go on. Yeah.
But strategizing an effective way to deal with the situation and make it more bearable again. And sometimes that's literally just time. It takes time to heal from something that's happened.
Sure, that makes sense.
I think too, just to jump in here, I think that there's a lot of people that are stressed out and they are depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And they might acknowledge that they're stressed out, or maybe they carry so much stress that it becomes normal for them. They have no idea that they're actually depressed.
Sure.
And you could blame many things for this. So diet is one that immediately comes to mind with all of the, we talked about this almost every week, the processed sugars and the types of foods that people eat. But a lot of people don't know is that depression often stems also from the liver. So a lot of people view in like natural medicine that the liver is kind of the bank in the middle of the town. And without all of those deposits and withdrawals being made, all of the businesses around the bank start to fetter or become a bust or get behind. And so if you looked at it like a little metropolis in the middle of this great big city, your liver is actually the conduit when you eat things that helps produce bile for digestion, which is kind of a gross concept. But, you know, a lot of people, for example, struggling with constipation, they're taking fiber, they have no idea, and nobody's telling them that it's actually a liver function problem.
Sure.
The liver is backlogged. It's completely chocked with artificial flavors or
whatever.
Toxins or heavy metals or whatever. So sometimes, and we've seen this like at Eden's, a lot of people have been able to make big, big gains with their mood, cleaning up the liver.
Wow.
Now, here's the interesting dichotomy, though. If the same individual that we've just analogized having a liver dysfunction issue that then experiences like mood disorders becomes labeled with a bipolar condition or an ADHD condition, often what is prescribed might be a medication for this, right?
Right.
So we're ignoring what is actually at the root of this depression or these mood swings. We're ignoring that from a holistic standpoint. And then we're prescribing something that we hope just simply masks the symptoms and fixes it and makes it goes away. You pop two of these twice a day and you're good.
Right.
The problem with so many of those medications, and guys, this is personal for me. I've had dear friends that I have emotionally lost, essentially. They've gone off the deep end. I would think that they would describe themselves as irrecoverably depressed at this point. Because they went down the path of medicating, over-medicating. And by the way, I'm not making blanket statements. If you're a family out there and somebody has been on meds that have helped that individual, I'm not prescribing or diagnosing. I'm just saying the philosophy that I tend to hold is more of a holistic kind of a health. Like our bodies were meant, you mentioned sunshine. Well, that's just one thing, right? And I bring up the liver because it is so important to the mood center of the way that a person thinks, the way that they produce hormones,
their endocrine
system. I don't think people
think about the liver as being that impactful.
The liver and the thyroid are like a tag team. So if you're having thyroid disorders that's making you sleep restless or you can't produce enough cortisone to feel optimistic and energetic in the morning, so much of this has to do with liver dysfunction. And medicating... Here's the interesting slash kind of dichotomy. A lot of those medications, the liver has to cope with. So you're making all these deposits into a bank that can't distribute fast enough to keep up with the load, and then you barrage it with something it now has to deal with.
And it makes me think of the commercials that we see. If your medication is not working for you,
and then
we're
going to
piggyback your medication with this other medication that'll help that medication.
Yeah.
And it's like,
and
what
the
you
disclaimers
just said about
at the end.
I know.
Right.
What
the whole
you
paragraph.
Just said about the liver, though, it's like...
Sustainably speaking, there are those who find the right cocktail through the right intervention. So I'm not saying that all medications at all times, every antibiotic at every time, but I'm saying that generally, as a society and as a culture of the way that we do medicine here in the United States, it is often, oh, Billy at school is hyperactive. Let's put him on medications for ADHD.
Right, right.
But if we look at his lunchbox, he may have what's called, and you and I have written about this in our book, Time Bomb, he might have unfettered access to what are known as excitotoxins, artificial sweeteners that tell his brain, we talked about this when we did the show with Daniel, we talked about beets, that tell his brain that he is experiencing something rewarding. However, the stimulants cross over the blood-brain barrier and it fires unto death. So you start literally losing active brain cells because of the overload of stimulation. It literally overrides to a degree, especially with children, their decision-making centers.
Sure.
So you've got a child who is being stimulated, and now he has ADHD, and then there's a medication that's supposed to bring him down or bring him up or whatever. But we don't change the lunchbox.
Yeah,
so what I'm saying is, if you're watching this show and you've been through all the medications and you have a loved one that you care dearly about and you feel like you've tried everything,
Or the school is petitioning.
CSD is wanting to come to your home to see if there's abuses happening that are not happening, but the child is absolutely uncontrollable at school. You may want to see like a holistic healthcare practitioner, somebody from kind of a holistic naturopathic style approach to medicine, because he may be able to identify with you very easily.
Sure.
Maybe some basic blood labs if necessary to see if the liver is fatty or functioning slowly or if there's enough enzymes to break down food. You may find that you could close the chapter on this whole disaster that has been and find hope in something with liver relief and a proactive diet. So
a really good
just throwing that out, because you know we take for granted that we talk about this all the time.
Right.
It's obvious,
it's
but there are always viewers out there
that
are learning this for the very first time, who may have a loved one or a child in this circumstance and have never thought about what they're eating.
Right.
Well, and then that makes me think about methylation pathways. You know, if a child has MTHFR, it could be very devastating because that will manifest as a behavioral disorder.
Okay.
And you just threw some stuff out there people may not be familiar with, but MTHFR, she's talking about genetic variations.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A child will get diagnosed with something like MTHFR, which is short for methylene tetrahydrofolate reductase. It's a variation, which means if I take a vitamin B and I swallow it, my body may react differently to that B than your body.
Yeah.
Because genetically you have what is called bio-individuality.
Mm.
And what you swallow might treat you differently than it does me.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yeah.
So she's talking about genetics maybe becoming overlooked and not a part of the equation along with diet. So then you have a child.
Right.
Well, and I am the child.
Right.
I grew up with, my mom, bless her heart, even before the age of holistic medicine and stuff, the one thing my mom did that I think honestly helped save me, because, and I've written about this in my book, Everyday Champions, but as a kid, man, I mean obnoxious beyond comprehension. You can see shades of it still today. I just keep a lid on it, you know. But no, you know, never-ending energy and just bouncing off the walls and fighting and, you know. Well, it wasn't until my late 30s that it was discovered that I have MTHFR. Mm-hmm. It's a variation in the way my genetics express themselves in reaction to the things that I eat. So when I talk about this as a hypothetical, I really was the kid, okay?
Sure.
My mom declined, though. And again, I'm not prescribing, diagnosing, but I'm saying my mom decided there was something about putting me on medications that just
didn't set
She just didn't think this. He's a healthy, he's really obnoxious. I think he's bored at school because he's getting almost all D's and F's.
Yeah.
And you were capable of A's if you wanted to. So it wasn't a matter of
make me care about school. You know, and some of the parents watching the show are like, oh my gosh, he's my son.
That's my kid.
Right?
That's my child.
But my mom did not take me down the path of several things. One, wanting to brand me as a kid with learning disability.
Stigma.
Didn't want me stigmatized or growing up thinking of myself as a child that was different from other kids.
Right.
I didn't know any different.
Sure, no. It's just
I thought I was faster and stronger and, you know, funnier and whatever. But she did not take me down the path. Well, here's how that saved me in a lot of ways, because later on as my health declined from the stuff that I was eating, and I wrote about this in Time Bomb, my digestion was destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
I did not take good care of myself at all in my 20s and late teens. And there was a price to pay for that.
Sure.
But it turns out, had I been taking things that further burdened my liver, I'm not sure there would have been a recovery like there's been. So anyway, just not to hijack the program, but it's just that mental wellness and liver function and this new word that you brought up, methylation, which is the body basically eating things and then coping with, storing,
unpacking
using, unpacking, converting the nutrients that we eat. It's a whole other show, but you cannot separate out what you eat and the state of your liver from how you feel.
That's a good point. We're going to take a break, but as soon as we come back, we're going to talk about how addiction can maybe play a role in depression. Stay tuned.
Millions of Americans are suffering a health crisis epidemic right now. Trouble with digestion, diabetes, chronic fatigue, hormone imbalances, depression, autoimmune disease, and more. The truth for many is that the real culprit of modern disease is simply a lack of vitally important nutrition. It is well established that the food we eat today has but just a fraction of the nutrition it once carried. Over the last 6 decades, there has been an alarming fall in nutrient density across the board, from fruits and vegetables to meat, dairy and eggs, due to soil depletion and intensive agricultural growing and harvesting methods. This means that less and less key nutrients like riboflavin, thiamine, niacin, fiber, copper, vitamin E, and phosphorus, just to name a few, are present in what we eat. What's worse, almost all of our food is laden with poisonous herbicides, pesticides, and antibiotics, which destroy our body's microbiome, the health of our digestive tracts, where 80% of our immune system resides. In short, it means that we're not being nourished properly. And when you add the constant exposures to toxic chemicals we were never meant to ingest, our bodies are destined for the rise of disease and dysfunction. But what if I told you it didn't have to be this way? At Eden's Essentials, we provide the absolute best and cleanest nutrient-dense whole food supplements and personal care products on the market, derived directly from non-genetically modified foods grown from clean soil, free of pesticides, herbicides, and biosediments to achieve the highest quality nutrition possible. So what is the Eden's Essentials difference? Well, many supplements on the market are packaged, labeled, and presented as healthy or even organic. But under the microscope, the ingredients may tell a different story. From expensive products being nutritionally void of what is advertised on the label, or using synthetic vitamins that our bodies struggle to absorb, to containing the same pesticides and herbicides we've already mentioned being used on foods, it's difficult to know what products are actually safe or as advertised. At Eden's Essentials, our products undergo a series of the most complete and rigorous raw material tests in the industry to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality bioabsorbable nutrition possible. We take pride in offering the most nutritionally dense supplements and the purest personal hygiene products available today. So revolutionize your health, maximize your immunity, and restore your vitality. Experience for yourself the Eden's Essentials difference and join the Eden's family. Visit edensessentials.com today.
Welcome back. So before the break, I kind of teased that when we come back, we're going to talk about how addiction can, you know, momentarily, like, you kind of fix it, maybe make it feel a little bit better, but
maybe
how,
lessen the depression
maybe
for
lessen
a short
it.
Stint.
Yeah, but yeah. then yeah. essentially it just worsens the condition. Is that
Over
like
time.
A real thing?
Yeah, it really is. So first of all, it has to be understood that addictions come in all shapes and sizes.
Sure.
People immediately think drugs and alcohol, but there are all kinds of addictions. You know, right. I mean, there's shopping, there's gambling, pornography,
food.
And then there are food. Yes, absolutely. And then there are simpler things that people don't realize are an addiction, but like, for example, gossiping can become an addiction. You know, stabbing other people in the back and you don't feel good unless you've had your fix where you got to get on the phone and you will never believe what happened.
That is crazy.
You know? And
I've never thought of like gossip as being addictive, but I guess you're right. That everybody watching the show knows that somebody, you guys here, have known somebody that you would say that person thrives on drama.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right?
No,
yeah.
100%.
Yeah. That person
Absolutely.
Thrives on... Anyway,
sure.
go ahead.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, it comes out of, and this is a whole different show, but it comes from the innate need for fellowship with other people and community and God and things like that. And we're always trying to fill something that's empty inside of us. And when that is not full, we are depressed.
You're the one with the skinny. You're the one with the 411. And for that brief moment, maybe you feel validation because you've got some... you know, saucy story that everybody...
Yeah. Well,
and everybody's waiting with bated breath. No,
right.
I know.
Yeah.
I just...
Yeah, that
I'm makes finding sense. That one particularly yeah. fascinating because I had never thought of it as an addiction.
Yeah. So these addictions, you know, what they result in is when you feel like we're talking, when you feel empty and then you turn to this thing to boost your mood, you will carry out whatever this habit is. But unfortunately, what goes up must come down.
True.
And the crash, it seems like the higher the high, the further the crash, right?
Sure.
And at the end of the day, we end up sabotaging our own lives, either through overspending, through creating drama with other people, interpersonal conflict, distancing ourselves from loved ones who would have otherwise been supportive and been there for us, but they're just kind of like, I'm going to hold you at arm's length because you thrive on drama, right? Like you said. And so we end up doing these things to elevate our mood, but finding ourselves more empty than before.
Mm-hmm. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and too much of anything can backfire.
Sure.
I mean,
sure.
I didn't know that water poisoning was a thing until a couple years ago, and it's very real.
You can actually drink too much water.
Yeah, so too much of literally anything can backfire and become very detrimental.
Sunshine that nobody gets enough of, but if you stay out in it eternally.
You're lobstered.
Yeah.
Yeah, you burn through the cholesterol reserves in your skin, and eventually you blister, and too much, you know, leads to nefarious disease of the skin.
Yeah.
Like, so, anything taking, you know, nutrients that I need, if taken in abundance too much, too often, can become too much.
A burden of the liver to process.
Yeah. And the result is that you are further isolated from people who would have otherwise been supportive to you. Yeah. You find yourself in a deeper pit than you were in. The crash is harder. And what comes out of that are feelings of failure.
Oh, wow.
And feelings of I'm a loser. And
so that
woe is me. And
to the depressed state.
Yep.
You know,
more
earlier,
depression.
I mentioned people being depressed that might not even know they're depressed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or it's become the norm. And they would say, I'm just a little edgy or I'm stressed out.
Yeah.
But I mean, I look at climate right now, the political climate, the climate of viral interactions, like literally everything seems
social
to be on hyperdrive right now.
Yeah, everything.
And most people are just drinking from a proverbial fire hose, like emotionally.
Sure.
They're trying to be all things to their kids and all things to their boss and all things to their jobs and all things to their parents, whatever. And I feel like the last few years, it seems like everybody I know feels like they're running faster than they've ever ran before and have never been further behind. It just seems like the world is moving faster.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have time to get into the consequences of how we've done this to ourselves in large proportion through the use of technology. We're so efficient now that there is no idle time, because if you've got 60 seconds, you can still send a text,
or an email. Or
like where 50 years ago, everything moved slower, or a lot of houses. Yeah, 100 years ago, everything's still horseback. And your idea of busy would be gardening and working very hard. But you would have to go travel to a neighbor to ever interact with somebody.
Yeah.
But for people that may not even know, Allie, what, in your view, are some of the signs and symptoms of identifying? Because it seems like the very first step would have to be, first of all, acknowledging that you might be depressed.
Sure, true.
And then becoming, you know, capable of saying, I am depressed, and not feeling
something
that makes you less manly or less womanly.
The stigma is terrible.
Or weak. You're weak because you're depressed. You're supposed to know everything and be all things to everybody. What are some of the signs and symptoms of depression?
Yeah, and I think socially it's getting more awareness. And so it's going to, you know, be easier for people to say, I need some help with this.
Yeah. Well, and it takes us back to the beginning, understanding what depression is.
What's it look like, though?
Well, understanding that it's not necessarily sadness. People step back and they say, nothing's wrong with my life. I must not be depressed. These are two different things. You're looking for situational depression in what may be just literally your body out of chemical balance. And there is a time and place for some of these medications. They can be life-saving.
Right.
They can alter the thinking of a person who is dealing with severe suicidal ideations. I mean, these really do have a time and place to be used.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, depression can look like, I'm exhausted all the time. I'm never hungry. I don't want to eat. Or
it's
I want to eat
tired,
all the time.
Right.
Exactly.
Hunger.
Exactly.
But it can be depression.
When you wake up already exhausted, that can be depression. When you have no interest, when you're forgetful and your memory, it just seems like you can't remember anything the way you used to. Yeah. That can be depression. Agitated. I'm going to fly off the handle faster than I thought. People think, well, you have an anger problem. Well, maybe you're just depressed. It manifests differently in everybody. And it can be anything from lifestyle, lack of exercise, to poor diet, to situational things that you aren't dealing with, and it's gone so long-term that it's become depression.
You're internalizing some things.
Okay. Yeah, it can be lack of social interaction.
Yeah. What's that old phrase? Can't see the forest through the trees.
Yeah,
like, it is your normal, so you're in the middle of it.
It's just Tuesday.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah.
And then a lot of people also, like you mentioned, you know, we're all running running so fast. We are created for community with each other and for fellowship
true.
With
That's
each other and
true.
With God.
Yeah.
And I know that I run 24/7, it feels like. And I don't know anybody in this room who's not running 24/7. And this is how we live. So if we don't make the time to have that community, that's a serious psychological need that is innate to us from all the way back to Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
And when it's not met, that can result in depression.
Yeah.
And the stigma around identifying that and seeking treatment for it, whether it's through, you know, I need to create 1 hour a day that I can spend chilling out, or I can spend connecting with friends, or I need to seek treatment,
self-care.
Like clinical, medical, I need a prescription for this maybe.
Yeah.
But we have to, here's the crux of depression. At the moment when you most don't want to get up and move, when depression is the worst, that is when it is the most vital that you help yourself.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so you have to fight against yourself for yourself, and it's cyclical. And you have to make this decision, I will get out of bed and I will do these three things today, if nothing else. And you can take it slow and give yourself grace if it means shedding that stigma and going and getting a prescription or connecting with friends.
Yes.
These are all things that can
being
be
honest
done.
And being
honest
willing to
huge.
Open up and seek help.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Huge.
It takes strength to do that, but you're fighting for yourself when you're willing to do that.
And just one last iteration of this, because I know we're out of time, Charisse, but seriously consider the possibility of finding, you know, go online and look up. You see if in your local area or within driving distance you have a healthcare practitioner of a holistic type nature, somebody like maybe a really educated chiropractor who also carries supplements, or maybe a naturopathic doctor who looks at herbal treatments for things like this, because it can be profound if you find the right fit.
Oh, absolutely. I agree 100%. Well, I'd like for you to come back next week. I know there's so
much
more.
We're going to have to do
more.
It again.
Yeah, there's more to this, and I want you to come back. I'm Charisse Parton. Thank you for spending part of your day with me. Eat better, feel better, live better. We'll learn more together next time on Return to Eden.
Hi there, I'm Brie Graffio with Eden's Essentials, and I'm here today with Daniel Belt, and we're going to talk to you today about our Eden's Fermented Turmeric and Ginger. Daniel, what can you tell us about our product today?
Yeah, so first, what turmeric is for. It has many properties outside of being just delicious. It is a common spice, but it's typically used for proper inflammatory responsing. It's good for cardiovascular health. It's good for the liver. It has shown benefits to helping out with blood sugar as well. So it really addresses a variety of issues that are common today.
That's so great. Is there anything that you can tell us about what makes our formulation great and different from other formulations?
Sure. Turmeric works very well specifically with ginger, so that it's also in it. And then, again, a big asset to our products in specific, which is a common theme here, which is fermentation is king.
Absolutely.
It's fermented, and when we put it through that process, it unlocks the nutrients that are in the spices in order to make them more bioavailable to us. And in that process, other nutrients are created as well that provide a wide range of nutritional benefits and health benefits across the board. And that would be the main reasons that it's really good.
Absolutely. I agree. Thank you. Now, you could go to the grocery store and start to incorporate some organically grown turmeric and ginger. Or, of course, you can call us at 1-800-652-7168 or order online. And, of course, if you have any questions, please feel free to email us at info@edensessentials.com. Thank you.